It's your girl Kilowatt. I am just waking up. I'm so fucking tired. I just went hiking yesterday. And I'm fucking beat. I'm so tired. Oh my god. I just wanted to do an intro. I'll probably do a conclusion afterwards, but it's just a conversation that I had with my mom that I wanted to share with you guys because I thought it was pretty valuable wisdom. So I love you. Enjoy.
No drugs. No
crap of stealing cars.
No, none of that. He's a good one. I
take your time.
Yeah, that's what I like about it because I kissed him goodnight. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I was like, unsure of like how even to kiss him goodnight. Like I was like, you know, and it's like, I am 37. I know how to kiss people goodnight, but I don't know how to be in a relationship with people who aren't love bombing the shit out of me.
And this is a good thing.
Yeah. Like it's a healthy way of approaching it.
It's more honorable.
It is. And you also get a chance to really like appreciate that person for who they are and everything they've been through.
Yeah.
As opposed to just this image that they've created for you.
Yes.
Because I don't want to say that Brent created an image, but he only allowed me to see the things that he found to be favorable.
Yes.
And he didn't really let me in to see the dark side of him or the things he wasn't proud of.
And he's which still is we don't. And he's still doing it.
I don't know.
I don't think he's being honest with this other woman either.
Well, I don't know. But that's either here nor there anymore. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. But I just feel really strongly that a majority of my relationships have always began with a lot of love bombing. Because Brad set the precedent. He set the tone for what I was used to in relationships. So I wasn't comfortable without a level of dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And imbalance.
Yeah.
You know, like, when all the focus was put just on me, it's nice to be with somebody who is taking their time to show me who they are and just taking it nice and slow.
Yeah.
Because with Brent, it was really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he was living here within like a month of us meeting, you know, and, same with Brad.
Yeah.
And same with B squared, you know, like anybody that I've been really serious with, same with Sam. Mm-hmm. It's a really disturbing pattern of love bombing, mm-hmm. moving way too fast, idealizing the shit out of that person only to be let down, of course, because who the fuck could live up to a mirage? Like, nobody.
Yeah.
And just this really deep desire to have, like, a real human.
Yeah.
Like, with an actual, authentic, introspective way of looking at things.
Right.
And so the hike today was really fun.
Yeah.
We went up to Angel's Rest, which I didn't really want to go on. Because that's actually where Brent and I first went on our very first hike. So I didn't want to recreate anything with that. Like, I was like, everything not that, you know.
Yeah, right.
But because I was going to take him out to Table Rock, which is just past Colton. It's my favorite hiking spot. I checked All Trails, which is like an online app thing. Mm-hmm. And they give updates of weather conditions out there and what kind of equipment you'll need for the hike.
Actually, and that's just a good thing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful tool. And so I was like, yeah, no, we need to check out what the weather conditions are like, because I was going to wear shorts and a t-shirt and sneakers.
Yeah.
And then as I'm looking at it, as of yesterday or the day before, mm-hmm. two people said couldn't make it all the way to the summit, only got about halfway through before we had to turn around. Bring your poles and your boots. There's about 10 feet of snow up there. Whoa. And I was like, yeah, I guess we're not going to Table Rock. Like, just, I guess that's out of the plan.
Yeah, don't want 10 feet of snow.
Yeah. And so I messaged Alan and I was like, listen, dude, like, I fucked up. I thought that we could just go up there and it was like that all the time.
No. No.
I didn't realize because of the elevation, the snowfall, you know. So they said you won't be able to really go do that hike until maybe August.
Yeah. Let's see.
And I was like, fuck, dude. And it's so funny because for him and I, we keep getting... Like, we're going to go see the Matt Rife comedy thing in Bend. But that's not until July.
Okay.
Like, we just met, like, maybe a month ago.
He's already got a plan.
Well, no, but, like, we just mentioned it because we both love Matt Rife.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, he's coming in, like, you know, da-da-da. And he's like, but maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. And I was like, yeah, no, you're fine. And then, like, but we're both, like, really pumped to go to it. So we're, like, quiet about it. Like, because it just, fun to, like, wing it, you know. And so
when I
told him today, I go, oh, well, that would be something we'd have to do in August. And he's, like, looking at me like, why do you keep making future plans? I didn't know what to say. I was just like, well, that's what they said online. Like, I'm not saying you and I should go in August. I'm just saying, like, but we could if we're still doing this thing, whatever, you know. And he was like, it was really awkward. I was like, God, I'm
that's
so
okay,
weird.
No, it's okay, you know, you're gonna have awkward things, and it's also gonna be really reflective of where you're both at.
Yeah.
So you can get that mirror, and both of you have that mirror, but each of you are looking into your mirror.
It's interesting though, because we have really similar, like, life events, like, because his marriage ended after a long time and mine did. And we related to a lot of things with, like, in a long-term marriage like that, resentment can build and it can get really fucking toxic between two people. Like, it can get unbearable.
Oh, yeah.
And he really understood that. Like, he was like, no, man, like, I get it. Especially if you're drinking, like, I own my shit. Like, I said, listen, like, I was crazy. I was absolutely mentally unstable for a period of time because I was dealing with a lot of shit with my kid and not understanding how to process that. And I turned to drinking because that made it, everything that hurt, go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's how I chose to cope with it. In the most unhealthy possible way, I chose that as my tool.
Yeah.
And so I think it made him feel better knowing that I was at least willing to acknowledge that that's where it fucked up on my end.
You know, guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to repeat things if you don't learn those lessons.
I know.
See?
I've learned that, yeah.
I mean, so every time you come into something and you realize, whew, wait a minute here.
This is feeling pretty fucking familiar, yeah.
This is really familiar, and it's not productive.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do I have to do?
To change the outcome. Yeah.
And that means I'm going to have to change.
I'm
going to have to change. And I'm going to have to see this in such a way of, oh, that was the old plan, and it didn't work very well. So now I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'll do this instead.
Well, and that's sort of what, like, Jacob, because I told Jacob I met somebody. I was like, oh, like, I met this guy, and he immediately went to, like, freak out mode. He's like, this is bad. This is so bad. And I was like, why is it bad that I met somebody? And he's like, because you don't pick good people, mom. And I was like, that's not true. And he's like, really? What's Sam about? And I was like, okay, I get that. I understand that. But I was really fucked up when I met him. And you attract what you are, you know? And so...
And he doesn't realize that.
He doesn't right now.
Yeah, that mirror.
He will eventually, but, like, you do have a tendency to attract what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting that Sam was so focused on his addiction and I was also so focused. It made it okay.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm sober.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm, like, thinking about going into this dating world again. Like, I'm in it now, obviously, but... When I was thinking really strongly about it, I was like, how do I even broach the topic of what do you do for a living? Because it feels so frustrating that I'm not bringing in an income right now. Like, it feels really fucked up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to change that. So when Melinda and Mike and all them said, listen, like, you can apply through the state and they'll do it. Mm-hmm. that made me feel a lot better, because the concept of leaving you right now when we don't have anything really set up or organized or structured on how things are going to go, like, just to go full-blown work mode is really unsettling for me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so I'm going to have to explain, like, what's going on in my family. And then I sat down one day and I was, like, just saying it out loud. And I was like, if I were a dude sitting across from the table, looking at me, hearing me say this to him, or whatever, if the situation were reversed, I would immediately, like, not want to fuck with that person. Because I'd be like, they have so much going on. I don't know. But then I realized, like, no, I think the right person will understand what's happening in my life as it is.
Yeah.
And I had to really acknowledge that, like, I don't have a really good picker. Like, I'm not good at picking people, because I always pick the most fucking crazy person. And now Brent wasn't crazy, okay? It wasn't that.
No.
But there was some kind of disconnect between me and every person I've ever been with. Because I didn't ever have a full view of who they were.
Right.
I never fully knew, like, I knew Brent, but I didn't fully understand him.
Yeah.
And I didn't fully understand Sam. I couldn't figure out what made that motherfucker tick. Same with Brad. I was very disconnected from my understanding of who they were as people. And so I realized, well, it's because you jump in. And you do the fairy tale romance shit, but you don't really allow yourself to know them and to like them. And vice versa. Like, how do they even really know that they want to be with you?
That's right.
They don't know enough about you to even want that. You were just filling a role in their mind that they needed you to fill. And what happens with that? 90% of the time, it's narcissism. You're literally attracting narcissists when you're not allowing yourself to get to know them and them to know you.
And also, you know, to recognize that it's going to take time. See, you know, a lot of times, especially with men, I think, too, you know, if you're an attractive woman, okay, you're an attractive woman, and maybe, you know, right now you've got a lot of things going. A man that zeroes in on a beautiful woman is very common. You can get anything.
Oh, God, yeah. They're everywhere.
You don't get anything.
Yeah, they really are everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. But to take the time to take care of yourself and your family, and then say, oh, yeah, this is my family over here.
Yeah.
And you're welcome to, you know, kind of get to know them and things like that. It's a whole different thing.
Well, yeah.
Address.
It shows where their priorities are. And that's something that I really needed, whoever I decided to start dating, to understand that, like, my family right now takes number one every fucking time, because they need me so much and I need them. Like, just as much as they need me, I need them. Like, I cannot be separate from them. It is a package deal right now because of what my life's got going on. And I thought to myself, somebody that's worth knowing and spending a considerable amount of my time with will understand that about me. And they'll also see that there's a lot more to me than just the role that I play in a family. They'll see the love that I have to give. They'll see the experiences that I've had. They'll see my perception of life and the things that I can offer with regard to seeing how the world is through my lens. You know, like, there's a lot of really valuable things in my bag. Regardless if I'm not making a certain amount of money or I'm not a certain size or whatever. You know, it's a lot to consider when you recognize, like, yeah, I could go get the best job and I could make a lot of money and I could be super hot. But is that going to give me somebody that actually wants me as a person?
Yeah.
Probably not. Because you've got A, B, and C checked off the list, and you meet this criteria that they've set in their head of what they want for a partner. And as long as you meet those requirements, and you don't necessarily have to really know everything about them, if that's all you're really going for is a really attractive female that's nice and sweet and funny, there's a lot of really attractive, pretty females out there. It could be anybody at this point, as long as you meet that requirement, then what's the point? Yeah. I wanted to meet somebody who was interested in who I was, right. Which is why I thought to myself, like...
That takes time.
Yeah, and it is, and that's something that's so different from what I've known before, which is why I was interested in allowing myself to take this. That's what I liked about Alan, is he was just like, I'm not really familiar with this process. Like, I too got out of a really long marriage, and I've been working on myself and trying to keep my kid, you know, healthy and happy and stable. So I can respect your situation, and I understand where you're coming from, and we can just play it by ear. Yeah. And I really like that about him.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's not the heavy push to be sexually into it immediately.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, that will really distract you and not necessarily, and I've learned this from my own experience, is that oftentimes you're so caught up in that, you don't really recognize who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not exposing who they really are.
Yeah, they're just hoping that physical connection will be enough to link you.
Yeah.
Which 90% of the time it is, because sex is a big deal.
Yeah.
However, I realized tonight that when I went to kiss him goodnight, like, he allowed me to be the one to initiate it. Like, I realized tonight that most of my relationships, if not all of them, were always led by the guy putting the first move on.
Right.
In every single situation, like, be it the first time you sleep together or, like, cuddle or whatever. And I found that with him, it's the opposite. Like, he's letting me really steer how this is going to go. And it makes me feel safe and respected.
It's a little bit more open-handed.
It is. It makes me feel really safe. Because
it's a good feeling.
It's something I'm not used to.
Every relationship that you've had has not had that solid built.
Yeah, like a friendship too,
like
though.
Friendship first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build from there. But I think, you know, you're a beautiful woman. So a lot of men are going to say, oh, yeah, I'm crazy about you. I'll marry you, whatever, you know, because that's kind of where they're at.
Yeah, a lot of the times it's like acquiring a trinket, you know, that they want to put in their treasure box.
A pretty trinket, you know.
Yeah, but I want to be, like, not an object. I don't want to be this image for you. Yeah.
Grows with you. Not necessarily... You are to grow for them, but it's a mutual thing of both of you. And there's a difference.
That's what I told Alan. I was like, earlier we were talking about Sierra and Jared. Mm-hmm. Were, because he had asked how Brent and I met. And I was like, oh, we met at a wedding. And then I told him, you know, it's like kind of crazy because it was my childhood best friend. And she got married to her childhood love, you know. And within 2 months, she ran off with another guy, and she's madly in love with him. They're married. They got 2 girls. They live in Montana. So obviously, it was meant to be, like, in that sense. Jared was definitely meant to be with Christy. Like, when they got together, it was because their families wanted them to get together so badly. And it was like, oh, you and Sierra are perfect for one another. And because she was so pretty... And because everybody said she was perfect for him, he went after her. But I don't really know if he understood who she was. And I think her husband now saw her for who she was, fell in love with Sierra. And when it really came down to it, she felt more love and connection with that guy and decided to just give everything up for him. And we talked about why... It's so unrealistic to say, like, a childhood love, like your first boyfriend, would be the love of your life, because of the fact that in the process of growing as people, you become, like, 5 different people.
Oh, yeah.
Completely different. Like, if you were to take me at 18 and compare me to now, I wouldn't even talk to that bitch. I wouldn't even fuck with her. I'd be like, dude, you need to get a pair. Like, grow a spine.
Yeah.
Get a backbone. Yeah. Figure your shit out and Spartan up. Like, it's not about that.
Yes.
And it just... We, like, really, like, understood, like...
It takes time to do that.
You have to grow as people and then also as partners. And that's part of the really, like, difficult balance of being in partnership.
Right.
Like, if you're going to go long term, you have to grow together. Otherwise, resentment festers. It becomes really toxic. And suddenly, you're just miserable.
Yeah.
Like, it is a long road to divorce. And I was looking through, like, some old messages that Kayla had sent to me. And she's like, what are you even holding on to? And I thought to myself at the time, I was like, yeah, but you don't make it to 25 years giving up and running off with somebody new.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they had it figured out back then. And they make it to 50 years because they didn't fuck up and call it quits for some 28-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to love. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was never a good fit, and I just didn't understand that. But I am holding on to the concept of love, that my husband will love me.
Yeah.
Because we made a promise in front of God and all of our friends and family and to each other and to ourselves. And that, to me, was such a big deal. Like, I couldn't let that go. Because it really meant something to me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I kept forgiving him for all the other shit, and why I kept going back, even though I wanted to leave and just find myself.
Yeah.
I kept going back because I was like, look, you made a promise. This is a vow that you promised his family, your family, each other. Like, you have to keep it. Like, you don't just get a fucking free card to bounce.
Yeah.
And it was so out of fucking... Like, it was just out of the question to me. It's kind of like when you're like, oh, like, maybe I'll be a burden down the road. Like, that to me is so wild, because there's nothing ever. I don't care how difficult it gets, because to me it will never be a burden because of how much I love you and what I'm willing to do with family. Like, it just doesn't happen for me like that. So the concept of letting go was just so left field for me.
Yeah.
So when she said, so what are you even holding on to? Obviously, it's been shit for a long time. And I'm sure she knows that, because he definitely took the time to tell her. Like, so that alone is a separate betrayal. But the point is, when the woman who ended up taking my husband asked me, what are you holding on to anyway? It made me think of her phrase when Alan and I were talking about what led to our divorces. Mm-hmm. And how long and painful and just excruciating that process was of coming to the conclusion that this may not actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a big heartbreak.
And I think sometimes, too, you know, I mean, I learned a lot with my divorce as well. You know, I had reached a point in my relationship with Stan. I did love him, and I think he loved me, but I wasn't mature enough, and I wasn't, I needed to not marry at 18, okay? That was my big mistake.
Yeah.
And everybody was pushing me toward...
Yeah, thank you, society.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, his family and my family, they were just...
Well, heaven forbid you ever have an independent woman out of control.
Yeah.
Right?
God help us, yeah. And yet,
the devil himself in that form.
I felt pretty bad for a long time over that, because I really ended the relationship. But, you know, I was way too young to be making.
Yeah, it's not even fair. I don't even think legally they should make that. I think the legal age for getting married should be at least 25. At least.
I agree.
Do you know how many fucking divorces happen because they just got married way too young? 25? Like, God. If you guys are going to be together forever, then why the fuck does it matter if they make you wait till you're 25?
That's right.
You want a party big enough, then throw a party. But you don't need to be legally bound to someone until you're mentally all there.
That's right.
Until your brain is fully fucking developed, you should not be able to commit your life to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, 25 and 27. Yeah, it's 25 for women and 27 for men, where their brains fully develop.
Yeah. And you know, the part of the reason why I married him? Because Stan got into a raft okay?
Uh-huh.
On the coast, okay? Well, his boat got separated from the others.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't find him.
He was missing at sea?
He was missing on this, I can't remember what river it was.
Oh, like out in the Columbia?
Out towards the ocean.
Oh, wow.
For God's sakes. And so, consequently, we couldn't find them.
So you had that big scare of losing him. Yeah.
Of losing him. And I was like, holy shit. And then his parents said, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so then, afterwards, it was just like, you guys have to get married.
Wait, so they found him, though?
We found him.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. He was 8 hours. No one could find him. We had planes out. We had all.
Where was he? What was he doing?
He was on the coast.
He probably fell out or something and had to like find his way back to a town.
No, he was still on the boat.
Really?
Yeah.
So he was just stuck without a paddle or something, yeah, hoping somebody would find him. Oh my God.
It was bad.
You guys find him and he's just sitting there eating chips going, God, it took you long enough. Like,
and immediately, I mean, it was like his family was like, okay, you guys need to get married now. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we got married 2 months later.
Oh, see, that's fucked up, dude. I'm crazy. So sorry. That's so unfair.
It was so unfair and we were just so flipped out. And I was flipped out.
You know, Stan's mom probably leaned over to your mom and was like, hey, you ever want to get your kid hitched, this would be the time to do it. Like, they're probably, like, just in cahoots.
Oh, yeah, you know, and I was so dumb about it. But, you know, I mean, he was not a bad man.
You weren't dumb. You were impressionable.
Yeah, and I still have parts of myself that still love him.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm sure he was a very lovable guy. If he was in love with you, I'm sure there's a lot of good in him.
Yeah,
you know, if they can see the good in you, then there's got to be something to it.
And his parents were very rigid and very religious. And so consequently, you know, did I ever have a trash mouth? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that worked really well.
I'm sure they loved your potty mouth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they hated my potty mouth.
That's so funny.
I was just not the kind of woman that should be saying those
it
things.
It cracks me up because for me growing up with you, mm-hmm, like, yeah, you cursed and stuff, but nothing to the degree of which I really fuck it up. Like, I get in it. Like, I'm all about the profanities. And it cracks me up so hard because I'm like, when I was a kid, I thought you were swearing like a sailor, right? Mm-hmm. In retrospect, now that I'm older and I definitely swear like a sailor, it was pretty mild, you know, it's really not that bad. And so I think about it, I'm like, they're just looking at you like you were just Lilith herself. Oh, just Adam's first wife saying, fuck you to the Garden of Eden and going off to do evil things.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's wild the way that they looked at women who just had a mind of their own and a curiosity about them.
Even then.
What a dangerous weapon she might be, you know, God forbid.
Exactly. And so, you know, but we thank God we found him. But it was one of those kind of things that I think to myself, oh, my God.
If that had never happened.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't have gotten married.
I don't think I would have gotten married. I think that was the kind of thing that said.
You know what's really funny about that is that at 18, it's the first nodal return.
Yeah.
And the second nodal return happens at about 37. So, like, really significant life events happen during those years. So that's why this last year has been absolutely fucking chaotic for both Jacob and I, because we have the exact same nodes, only opposite houses. So Jacob was meant to learn how to be his own person, and I was meant to learn how to be in partnership, which is why I always revert to just doing my own fucking thing, because that's where I'm comfortable. Yeah. And Jacob is never satisfied unless he's in partnership.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious that we're both mother and son trying to figure our shit out together in the same family and then showing each other, like, Jacob's like, look, Mom, you suck at picking partners, okay? Maybe try something different. And I did. Which is what led me to Alan, and I'm actually so far pretty good.
Yeah.
Definitely satisfied with the change, you know?
Yeah.
And when it comes to Jacob, I'm looking at him going, baby, you're going to have to figure out how to be in your own skin. You're never going to be able to keep one person around you long enough to keep you feeling safe if you don't feel safe in your own skin.
Yeah.
Alone. You're going to have to figure that out. And he's like, I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to.
What your boundaries are in terms of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, because if you're not able to even imagine yourself being without that person, you're going to let a lot of shit fly that shouldn't. You're going to have zero fucking boundaries and they're going to stomp all over you because they know that they can get away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would stomp all over you, but the person that realizes they have the upper hand, that is willing to deal with a very codependent partner because it allows them to rule with an iron fist would be the type of person that would stomp all over you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's something very... to consider. And I tried to tell him that.
Down.
And I don't think Summer's in that place, but you know, time will tell in every relationship.
It does.
That's why I find it interesting that when you look at relationships that are long term that end, it's always the partner that moves on first that does the least amount of introspection. Because what they do is they transfer those emotions to the next person. They transfer every lesson that they didn't learn.
Baby.
Hi, baby. Come here. Is it Merlin?
I think it's Merlin.
Oh, he's out. Where was he?
I don't know.
I told you he was hiding.
He probably was hiding. What you doing? Oh, hi. 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 Well, come here and talk to me.
Is
about
it the baby?
It's our baby.
Our little smart baby. Oh, it's the pumpkin. Oh, he's really needing some love today.
Oh, he's been so sweet at bed.
Oh, I believe it. I think it's so cute that they both get up in your armpits.
On each arm. I got my baby.
I don't know. I was telling him tonight when we were watching the movie, and we would just like bring up stuff about our families and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, like I am not a four cat person. Daisy is actually, to be fair, in your defense, by the way,
yes.
Three of these cats I have purchased for you and just sprung them on you, which is hilarious to me because I'm over here harassing you about having four cats. And I brought three of them to you at this point, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe I don't have a lot to stand on with that. But I was laughing because I was telling him, I was like, I'm not a cat person like that. Like, I love cats. I think they're wonderful. But I just fucking hate litter boxes, man. Like, I hate them. I hate them so much. And I said, but it's so fucked up that I refuse to do the litter boxes when she needs my help. Like, I need to do the fucking litter boxes, and I don't want to do them because I hate it so much. And I'm like, that's the one thing that I drag my feet on. And I'm like, but she's so happy with them. I'm so glad that she has them because they really do improve the morale of the household. There's so many fun dynamics when it comes to cats. Like, I was telling them all about Daisy and how jealous she was of the little gray striped baby. And I was like, she'll just walk up and straight smack him in the face. Like, she just ain't having it. And it's just fun to watch. You know, then Merlin,
oh,
Mr. Bug Eyes, just convinced everybody's going to eat him for supper. Like, even though all we ever do is feed him supper, he's like, they're going to eat me for dessert. Like,
they are. I know they are. They hate me.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's crazy. But it's wonderful. I love them. I'm so glad that I have them in my life.
Yeah.
They're just fun. They're fun to watch, you know?
We should watch that. The movie we watched was called Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow morning, we should definitely watch that. But it is, what time is it? Let me see.
It's late.
Oh, it's 11:30.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, it's definitely time for night-night.
It's time to night-night.
Oh, let's do this. Well, I hope that you enjoyed this little podcast episode that I just decided to make with my mom. We were having, I think we had talked like an hour before I finally just said, fuck it, I'm recording this. Because it's one of those conversations that we were having that I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm going to want to know this information 10 years from now. You know, like, it's a timeless piece of advice, and I thought, I better capture this. So, anyway, I hope you guys have a good day. I had a pretty busy day today, so I'm sure I'll be back on another time, but I will talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.